The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two, a numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. He will be back next week.
Yes, he will. He'll be back on Monday.
Don't worry. Don't worry. This is one of those two-week vacations for all the people that hate listening to me talk. It's okay.
Gil's usually only a one-weeker.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just likes to take multiple one-weekers. Yeah. Spreads them out.
He's not a two-weeker. He's just a multiple one-weeker.
Yeah, I think it's smart. You spread them out a little bit more.
Makes you feel like you're getting more vacation time, even though it's all the same amount of time.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
What if you just lumped them all together, though, and you're just like, I'll see you on a month and a half.
I don't think our bosses would be very happy.
You know what? I'll just see you on a month and a half. Have a good
Figure
one.
Figure it out for a month.
Yeah. Check you later. I'll be back in a month and a half.
I don't know if shows would be very successful either if we did that.
I'm gone. I'm checking on out of here. So you did win your first set. That said, 5-3 here in the second set in favor of Iga Świątek. So we could be heading to a third Kelly Bidlin.
Yep. The sweat is on.
Yeah, the sweat is real for you.
Gil is sweating heavier somewhere else. I can tell you that. At the RBC Canadian Open, Sam Burns and Alex Smalley with a share of the lead at 4 under par.
Where's Cougar?
You're going to be so mad you didn't bet Burns this week.
I know.
I actually thought you did, but it was
he can't put 4 rounds together.
We were talking about it during a break. I will be behind on Burns if there is a resurgence here because of how bad the iron play has been. I'm going to have to see it for multiple tournaments before I buy it.
So some inside information here.
Oh,
look at this. I'm going to share it with the world. So I know everyone knows that Sam Burns is from my hometown of Shreveport, Louisiana. Went to LSU.
I've heard it 1,000 times. I don't know if the audience has.
So he was back. He was back there for a little bit, just visiting real quick and then took off. But one of his buddies is a member of the club that a few of my friends that still live in Shreveport are a member of.
Right. Do we have some yarn back there?
In conversation.
Yeah.
What came up was that he and Scotty and I guess Rory and a few of them had gone and played a practice round at Oakmont.
Mm.
And the word is the course is unplayable.
The early reports I have heard much of the same.
Yes.
Heavy renovations and the rough seems rough.
Like that the word was unplayable. So, and these are like the best golfers in the world. So, yeah. I mean, and what that does for us, and this is a long tease to next week. It makes the handicap impossible.
Yes, it does. It makes it a lot tougher.
It makes the handicap impossible because, so if the course is going to destroy everyone, then what's our handicap?
Mm-hmm.
Like the person that's luckiest?
The problem is when individual holes can blow up your entire tournament, right? When you can go out there in a U.S. Open and on a par four, put up an 8 easily because of how difficult they build it out. And all of a sudden your guy goes from, inside the top 20 to missing the cut.
So hopefully maybe they made their voices known when they played the practice round. Maybe we'll get some word at the beginning of next week as people get out there and start walking the course and actually see what's going on and say, okay, they did have to modify a couple of different things because they had this thing set up to where, look, we like to see a test and we want to see these guys tested. What I don't want is for them to look like me going out there and playing. Like I don't need a +6 being the winning score. That to me is too much.
Not me either. Yeah, I'm with you. I know there are people out there that disagree with us and they like to see these guys struggle, but it's you still need to have a course set up where sure it can be challenging. I like to see challenging, right? But you need to the best golfer that week needs to have a chance to win it and not just get blown up by one hole or two holes.
If I want to see people struggle, I'll just go out to the course with Bubba Horowitz and I'll just watch him play some golf. If I want to see people struggle, that's not what I'm about here. Like I want to watch these guys go out and do what they do the best and look like the absolute best. So hopefully they don't have the course impossible. We do have a first pitch that is coming shortly after we get off air, 9:15 Pacific time here, actually. So 12:15 over there, East Coast. They're getting this done over in Atlanta, Diamondbacks and the Braves. We talked about it a couple different times, but just to officially kind of put this out there, I am on the Braves over 4.5 on the team total standpoint in this thing. Brandon Fatt has been, let's just put it this way, Kelly, he's given up at least 3 earned runs in 5 of his 6 starts, last 6 starts. so far. This bottom five bullpen in baseball also helps out. So if they run fat, then we're getting a bullpen that's going to give up some runs as well in all of this. And the other thing that's working in our advantage, and I don't, these guys can figure things out, make tweaks, and certainly change things, but we have to go on what we've seen so far, which is the fact his K rate is drastically down. He's just not striking dudes out at all. He had a 24% K rate last year, actually 24.3, if you want to give him the extra little 0.3 there, down to 18% this year. His swinging strikes are down 2% this year as well. And so for me, I'm getting a guy that doesn't seem to have it figured out quite yet, is giving up runs, and it's shown that in five of his last six starts. His K rate is down. His swinging strikes are down. I know the Braves have not been lighting the world on fire from a from an offensive perspective, but they might not have to. They might not have to be really on their game, given the combination of fat and the bullpen that you're getting from the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, man, and that's why I said all of that in the first hour, and I bet the team total over 4.5, and you're tailing along.
Right? Absolutely love it. One other play that I do have in baseball as well, Framber Valdez going for the Astros today against the Pirates. If you've watched, we talked about this, was it yesterday or the day before on the show? Paul Skenes goes 8 innings, strikes out 8, only gives up 1 earned. He lost because the Pirates can't hit. And so we're going to go a little bit different direction here. I'm just going to go over 18.5 outs for Framber Valdez. So Okay. Basically we got to get him to go 6 1/3 for him in this game. He's gone at least 7 innings in 4 of his last 5 starts. And the one that he didn't get there, he went 6. So one more out and we would have gotten this bet home as well, Kelly. So over 18.5 outs for Framber Valdez, a dude that is incredibly efficient and can go deep into games because of the fact he is such an incredibly high ground ball pitcher. So he gets up there, gets these dudes to beat the ball into the ground, and then he is just moving on in these innings. Like I said, gotten to at least 7 innings in 4 of his last 5 starts. We are looking at a guy that is currently on the season with a 60% ground ball rate. He just gets these guys to pound the ball into the ground over and over and over again, and that can extend your outings. And also, we're getting a team that can't hit in the Pirates. So give me Framber Valdez over 18.5 outs.
I dig it. I dig it. So two on the card for you today for baseball?
Yeah, those are the two for me. Hopefully we had a little bit of a bounce back from yesterday, the 1-2 day yesterday over on the diamond. Like I said, one stung. Abbott got knocked around a little bit or whatever. But the other one, you lose 2-1. The handicap was there. What are you going to do, right?
So what is it, 4-2 on the week for you on the show? Week.
Yeah, 4-2. Ooh, well, if we count my under 38.5, it would, but that wasn't on, you know, that was the match that started.
Didn't count.
Yeah, the match had started already with all of this. We talked to John Anik yesterday about UFC 316. The John Anik that I guess a lot of people probably didn't know could grow a full head of hair if he wanted to and chooses not to.
I did not know that either.
He said it on the...
I know. I would not have guessed that either.
Yeah, it's like most people are doing this out of desperation. And he's like, no, I just want to look different than my twin.
So the problem is there's problems, right? With the... When you get to that point, if you're losing hair, okay, it makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. The problem is, though, with John, is now it's just your look. Yeah, you know,
that he got famous, he can't go back.
Right, you can't go back.
You can't go back.
Even if you wanted to.
Can't go back.
Now he might have the terrifying experience, though, of once he does try to go back, what if it's a little light back here? Then you really freak out.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll be freaking out, but that was an interesting little nugget there. He's like, yeah, no, I just want to look different than my twin. Yeah. My twin's got a lot of hair. I'll have no hair. Murad Dvalishvili in the main event versus Sean O'Malley. This is a rematch. These guys have fought before. Murad won in convincing fashion. Sean O'Malley came out afterwards and said that he was hurt in that. Actually followed that up with a surgery. So I kind of believe that he was hurt in that one. I think he's gotten better. That's not to say that Murad has not, but Murad has one way of winning fights. Murad decisions you, and that's it. Murad is decision, 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 decision. I think that O'Malley could have a couple of different ways to win this fight. Given the price that's out there right now, where this has shifted so much in favor of Murad, which, by the way, O'Malley money has come in a lot in the last 24 hours. Like, this was up to plus 260
really?
On O'Malley. Yeah, down to plus 230 on O'Malley. I played it at its peak. I played it a little bit before its peak as well. I think given the price that we have right now, O'Malley has to be the play in this thing. I think that if he can go in and figure out how to stuff some of these takedowns, look, the playbook is there. You know what Mrab's going to do, and you've already fought him once. And if you believe him and his coaches, he said that that loss humbled him, that he really took this training camp a lot more seriously. As we discussed yesterday, he openly says he quit smoking pot and all the other things that were going on. If you want to watch Anik's clip from yesterday, he'll let you know some other stuff that O'Malley has quit. But yeah, I mean, for me at the over 2-1, it's O'Malley on the play for me. And then in the co-main event,
I don't know why I was going to, I was assuming you were going to be on Mrab, because it takes very little to talk me into a shot O'Malley bet, because he is a very exciting fighter to watch. So I will be joining you on that one.
Yeah, it was I was all over Mrab in the first fight, but the price has just moved too much for me. And I think O'Malley probably was hurt and probably is a little bit better than he was in that first fight. It's a dog or pass situation in the co-main event for sure. Juliana Pena all the way up to 520 plus 525. Now, you cannot lay 750 with Kayla Harrison. I will not allow you to do that. It is still 4-ounce gloves. Not that we're really worried about a ton of knockouts in the women's bantamweight division, but still 4-ounce gloves. Anything can happen. And you're getting over 5-1 on someone who's been in the deep water recently. Nunes couldn't put her out of there. And so I think you drag Kayla Harrison into the deep waters here and see if you can't squeak out some sort of decision. We've seen Kayla Harrison, by the way, lose a 5-round decision not that long ago. And so it has actually happened. And so if you can drag her into the deep waters, perhaps you can get that decision at 5.5, 525. That's the only play here for this French Open and NBA with our very own Zach Cohen when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN. Filling the curtain back. Kelly been in the chair for about 3 seconds.
Come on, man.
You just slipped right on in there right before we went back live.
There might not be a lot of things that I do great around here, but
slipping. Oh, timing that sliding into the chair.
Timing
right before
that clock of when I disappear in and out of studio when you guys at home have no idea. It happens.
In for Matt Brown and for Gil Alexander. I'm looking at this. It's leaderboard now. Just a smattering of golfers at 4-under.
Oh,
Sam
really?
Burns, Nick Taylor, Alex Smalley, Jackson Suber, Paul Peterson are all at 4-under. Don't look now. Taylor Pendrith at 3-under.
Uh-oh.
Who we have a first-round leader bet on. Harry Hall.
You know what? So my plan for first-round leader was to go Keith Mitchell, Harry Hall, Taylor Pendrith. But the Pendrith has been bet so heavily this week that I was disgusted by the first round leader number. So, of course, I stayed away.
Harry Hall at 3-under, Victor Perez at 3-under as well. So the leaderboard is starting to look a little bit better for us here. I did find my boy Johnny Kiefer at 2-under. So live there as well.
I've even got guys that looked real bad early. But Rory's climbed his way back. Luke Clanton, he's climbing his way back. A couple birdies on the card.
Cougar still tied for 70th.
Come on, Cougar. Get it together.
Cougar Collins.
It is always fun to see with like how many Canadians are in this field, period, but then like how many are playing well already. Mike Weir's 1-under. Good for Mike Weir. There we go.
Now joining us here on the program, our very own Zach Cohen. Find him betting on X on the Twitter machine and, of course, all of his great work over at VSiN.com. Zachariah, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I think Kelly was trying to avoid me. That's why he got to the chair so late.
You didn't want to have to talk to him in the break.
I had important discussions in the back to have. Okay, Zach.
You didn't want to talk to him during the break.
It's okay.
Y'all talk enough.
Zach JVT and I text like 17-year-old girls do. I think so. Just a constant, nonstop group text going.
Okay, so that you didn't need to talk to him. That's fine.
We good.
Let's start out on the tennis side of things because we've talked a ton of NBA. Certainly going to get your NBA thoughts as well. But we see Djokovic go out there and defy all logic and age and whatever. Doesn't matter that he's 57 years old. Still doing what he's doing. He's going to be a plus 330 dog to Jannik Sinner. And then we got Musetti as a 475 dog to Alcaraz. Any thoughts on either one of those?
Yeah, I had plays up on the website for both of those matches. In the Djokovic-Sinner match, I'm really fascinated to watch it. We haven't seen them play since last year, and it's their first time playing on clay in quite some time, if at all. So I'm really interested in seeing it. I have the over 3.5 sets in that match, which is more or less a play on Djokovic to win a set. I mean, Sinner is a minus 450 favorite, a 6.5 game favorite. He's expected to win that match pretty easily. I think Djokovic is going to be able to give him some trouble. Djokovic was really, really sharp in his win over Alexander Zverev last round. He was hitting a lot of drop shots. Drop shots are actually something that Sinner could have some problems with. His legs are one of the only questionable things that he really has going right now. And his fitness is one of the only things that's really questionable with him. So I think Djokovic can win a set in that match. So over 3.5 sets at minus 140 or around there, I think is a really good play.
Over on the women's side, we got this going in about, it looks like they're hoping in about a half an hour. Coco Gauff minus 575 over Boisson, who is sitting at 4-1. Anything to look at there in that one?
I would be looking at Coco if I were to take anything. I have futures on Coco, so I'm not really looking to do anything here because not really trying to hedge. I don't think that Boisson is a really good, you know, live underdog here. And I do think that Coco is going to get to the final. Having said that, like -4.5 games is out there at like minus 150. I believe -1.5 sets is out there at minus 150. If you want to play those, I don't think it's the worst idea in the world. The only real chance Boisson has of making this match close is the crowd just completely getting to Coco the way it did against Andreeva in the last round. Boisson is, you know, a good prospect, a solid player, but definitely punching above her weight in this tournament. I think this is kind of the matchup where you see that.
All right, Zach, just flipping over to the NBA Finals, getting started tonight. Your favorite single bet game or series is what, my friend?
I think game by game is going to be the way that I'm going to go with this series. Like, I did take the over 5.5 at plus 115. I feel better about tonight taking 9.5 or 10 with the Pacers. I personally got it at 9.5. There's a 10 out there now. I want to see Oklahoma City prove that they can beat this team down before laying double digits with them. I think it's a very aggressive game one spread, especially considering we know the Thunder give up a ton of threes. I think only six teams in the regular season allowed more three-point attempts than the Thunder. We know this Pacers team can shoot it. They're shooting the ball better than any team in the entire postseason in terms of three-point percentage in this postseason. And I think that one of the things that I'm keeping an eye on is in the games against Minnesota in games one and two, the Timberwolves had chances to win those games in Oklahoma City. They just unraveled with turnovers because of Oklahoma City's ball pressure. I don't think that's going to happen with Indiana. Indiana's got the third best turnover percentage in the postseason. They had the third best turnover percentage in the regular season. I don't think we're going to see as many mistakes out of the Pacers. So I do think this is a series the Thunder are going to win. I don't really see the Pacers winning it. I just don't think we're going to see blowouts in every single game.
Talking to our very own Zach Cohen. Of course, find his work over on VSiN.com, betting on X on the Twitter machine. Zach, I asked Kelly this a little bit earlier. Curious your thought. We're sitting 230, 230 and a half. We got up to all the way to 232 in this thing. Now starting to come back down a little bit. If this game goes over, is there a correlation to how you think it goes from a Pacers or Thunder perspective? If this game is under, does it mean you're leaning towards one of the other teams? Is there any sort of correlation at all to the result of the game with the total?
I guess my boring answer is I don't think there is a correlation. Like, I just kind of think that the Pacers have proven now in the series against the Knicks that they can win in multiple different ways. So if they do speed things up, maybe that helps their offense a bit. But I do think that Halliburton has kind of been learning on the fly and improving on the fly in terms of half-court execution. So if it ends up being a little bit slower, I still think it's just going to come down to whether or not the Thunder role players are making shots at a high clip. I think we've seen throughout these postseason, like, Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren have had their moments, like really good moments for both, and they've kind of answered the questions that I had of them going into the playoffs. But I don't think it's a night-to-night consistency thing where you could just count on them every single game. So I think there's going to be games where, you know, the supporting cast lets Shai Gilgeous-Alexander down. I don't think there's going to be as many of those from the Pacers. I know they're not as strong in terms of actual talent, but I think that they're deeper with trustworthy contributors.
I think that's it's an interesting breakdown, Zach. And I can't necessarily disagree, right? We just haven't seen it steady from I'll even say just Chet and J-Dub before we get to real role players. They showed up big last series, but you think you'd need a little bit more out of them for them to roll. You do a lot with player props. Always go to VSiN.com. Check out Zach's work every single day. He's usually writing stuff up on these games and then bets as well. Anything you're looking to bet, any players that you're looking to bet against, target against, or to bet on in a specific prop market this series?
So the one that I have is Chet Holmgren to average 20-plus points at plus 500, I think, at MGM. I just think that, you know, we saw Karl-Anthony Towns really abuse Miles Turner's kind of slow footwork in that last series, you know, whether it was knocking down threes on late closeouts or attacking those late closeouts. There was just a lot for Towns in that series as both a shooter and a downhill driver. Holmgren doesn't play with the same kind of force that Towns does. He's not quite as big, but he is really good at putting the ball on the floor, and he scored 20-plus in three of the final four games against the Timberwolves. That Minnesota defense is better than this Indiana defense, so I just kind of thought it was worth a sprinkle at plus 500. I'm not sure I'd say it's likely. I think it'll probably take, you know, a 30-point game at some point, because I do think there's going to be a bad game at one point. And I just do think there's a really good shot that he ends up being kind of the most reliable number two for SGA in the series.
Zach, I'm going to give you a free 100 Matt bucks, and you are going to have to bet one bet on the team to win in the exact amount of games. I actually have a Thunder in five ticket as we head into the series right now. Kind of my only thing that I'm dealing with, along with the first, I have them to win tonight and then win the series as well at kind of like minus 275. What are you looking at from this team wins in this amount of games? You get one bet.
I think it's OKC in six. I took the over 5.5 in the series, mostly because, like I just said, I think there's going to be a bad OKC shooting game at some point, and I think there's going to be a really hot Indiana shooting game at some point. As long as they don't kind of come in that same game, I think we're going to see the Pacers win two games. I also think that, like, I think Indiana's a little bit more live tonight than they're being given credit for. I mean, they're 3-0 in game ones in this postseason, 7-1 straight up and against the spread this year overall when playing with 3+ days of rest. I think that Rick Carlisle, with extra time to prepare, is just really dangerous. And I know that Mark Daigneault is an unbelievable coach as well, but I do think Carlisle, like, if you look at the series and try to find the guys with, you know, finals experience, championship winning experience, it's really Carlisle as a coach and a player. So I think that he brings a lot to the table in this series, both as an X's and O's coach and as a motivator, someone that could calm his team down. So I think Indiana's going to be really live tonight.
OKC in six plus 450 over at DraftKings if you are so inclined. He is Zach Cohen. Catch all his work over there on VSiN.com. Zach, thanks for the time and good luck, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Guys, we got a contest running. If you want to go in Belmont Stakes at Saratoga, get on the action with our friends at First Bet. You can play in the First Bet and VSiN Belmont Stakes Pick'em Challenge. Enter your picks for Saturday's top races. Get up to $500 waging voucher from First Bet. Head over to VSiN.com/Belmont to play. That is VSiN.com/Belmont.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown, Mike Somich. Oh my God. Look what I did. It only took that long. You know, Kelly Vidlin.
Ready?
Do you know why? Why I said that? Because I was reading all of these names of the Canadians that are still yet to tee off in this deal, and there's like four Mikes of all these guys, and Mike Weir, that is also one under, by the way, in the tournament. Like, apparently Michael must be the most popular Canadian name that there is on the face of the planet, because there are a ton of Michaels here in this one, which, by the way,
apparently you just really miss Mike Sump.
We're still sitting
don't
here.
Don't worry, Mike, he'll be back on Saturday.
Still sitting here at four under. Sam Burns, Nick Taylor, Alex Smalley, Justin Jackson Suber, which, by the way, I have bet.
This is why you brought him up. I didn't even know why you brought him up off air.
Paul Peterson at four under as well. All T1. Rico the Hoey.
Yeah.
We've bet him a ton, but he's going to run out of holes. He's through 17. But he is T6 with a whole bunch of people as well at three under. Rico Hoey, Lee Hodges, Taylor Pendrith, Mackenzie Hughes, Harry Hall, Victor Perez, Mason Anderson, whatever a Mason Anderson is.
Look at the name below him.
Baron Botha?
Baron Botha? Yeah, there's
Baron Botha?
Star-studded leaderboard we're looking at right
here. What is Mason Anderson? How have we never heard of him? What's his... Oh, he's... No, he's 26. Turned pro in 2022. He must not make very many cuts.
Just off the radar. You know, we've talked about this on Long Shots a bunch. Yeah. I feel like it's thrown out too much of, hey, just bet Scottie Scheffler every time. Like, you'll win money. No, you'll lose money year after year. Yeah. However, if you did that with Nick Taylor, Matt, I'm not sure wouldn't be up.
Yeah, because the numbers that are attached to him.
Yes, because he's always like 90-1. And dude actually wins, and it's just, it amazes me how many weeks in a row we can go without even seeing his name remotely close to the top of the leaderboard. And then it feels like once a year there's a 3-week stretch where he's up there every single week, and he's right there again this week.
Oh, Iga thrashed in the third set, blanked 6-0. Sabalenka moves on.
Adios.
7-6, 4-6, 6-0. Sabalenka just a machine in the third, gets it done, and she will be moving on to the finals
to play the winner
of Coco Gauff and Boisson.
I wanted to say it this time.
Can you get to
what, Louise Boisson?
Okay, you have the first name down. I keep forgetting.
Yeah, you can't do that, Louise. Well,
I keep forgetting how it's like Louise.
Louise Boisson.
Louise Boisson. And Coco Gauff, by the way, Coco Gauff, minus 575.
Good. I'm glad we learned it just in enough time for her to lose and be bounced.
Yeah, massive favorite there in that one.
Is there anything you do with that match, by the way? Like,
at this point,
like, what happens when someone like this makes a run? Because anybody with any sort of data has to show extreme value, I would think, on Coco Gauff.
It's the deal of do you believe in rallying behind your home country and the crowd being in your favor, because obviously it's going to be massive tilt here in her favor. And how much will that affect Coco? I'm sure there will be a few drunkards that heckle her and, you know, all that stuff during that's all
happens. Yeah. Every sport again.
Yeah. And specifically home country versus there's all of that. Coco's incredibly superior from a talent standpoint that it's just,
because I was kind of bugging Zach about this yesterday too, where I'm like, I would think, you know, if we had some fluke match play event in golf, right? Yeah. Like we would have, and there's some no-namer versus a Xander Schauffele, whatever the number is, we would show value on the Schauffele side, right? Just because of the class of player differential. But at what point do you just say a run I don't want to get in front of like this? Yeah. And that was basically Zach's answer to me. Was like, yeah, it's value on Coco's side, but I'm not getting in front of this.
A lot of golf to play, though, and this is not a pat on the back for us. I think this is just more of a, hey, listen, this is why we look at the stats, and this is why we dig into this stuff. We said, who is the person we want absolutely nothing to do with whatsoever in this tournament? And we said it was Ludwig because he was at 14-1 coming in what can only be described as average form. He's even through 13. I mean, it's just, you know, again, I'm not, a lot of golf to be played. Ludwig has the talent to go birdie every single hole in the way. You know, next thing you know, we look up and he's 5-under. But it's just the price was the name. The price was not the form.
Yep.
You know?
No, it totally was. Yeah, it was actually, I thought one of the more interesting moments we've had on Long Shots in a while, where I brought up that question. It was just a snap answer from all three of us. So who's the one golfer you want nothing to do with this week? Ludwig. Boom, boom, boom.
Sam Burns birdie, Jackson Suber birdie. They are at 5-under. So we talked a little bit about the MVP, and you know, I had a Matthew Stafford ticket. You also now have a Matthew Stafford ticket. The only one in there for me. Offensive player of the year, I think, is so incredibly chalky, but I mean, it's worth talking through.
Mm-hmm.
But you see what we're going with
this overall, real quick, Matt, is as chalky of a year as I can remember in the offseason with some of these, with these awards.
Yeah. I mean, this one in particular, because if you look at offensive player of the year and your short shot is Saquon Barkley, and then you get Jamar Chase, and then you get Jahmyr Gibbs, and then you get Bijan Robinson. Like, look, Saquon is going to get a million carries.
Mm-hmm.
The tush push lives on. So they're going to extend drives. They're going to be going for it, you know, much more often, which is going to give him more opportunity, more times to go out there. He is kind of the rightful favorite. I get it. So you start looking down the board and you want to talk yourself into some of these other guys. And it's like, yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry at 18-1 is at least somewhat intriguing just because he seems to not age, and you know that he's going to get a ton of work there in that one. And then you start to look at some of these other dudes. I mean, Bijan Robinson at 16, I guess my question to you is can we definitely say that this offense is going to perform better under Penix than it did under Cousins? Because the thing is, we know Cousins was hurt and he's basically washed, but Penix, we have such a small sample size and we see these dudes not pan out all the time in the NFL. And so I think we're like a little quick to just assume that the offense is going to be better under Penix. Yeah. I think there's a world that exists where it's maybe just the same, probably not worse. I don't know if it could be worse, but it might could be the same.
Yeah, this is so this is where Isaiah Wrinkle's working on getting me a Telestrator because I want to do this with our graphics. But so like Saquon Barkley, Jahmyr Gibbs, Ja'Marr Chase, maybe even Jahmyr Gibbs, not as much, but Ja'Marr Chase and Saquon Barkley absolutely deserve to be where they're at. I have question marks then with, like, we still know Gibbs split some time in the backfield, although I think he's a stud. That price is probably deserved. Bijan, to get to your point, I can't get to him at that price. I need something a little bit longer than that. Justin Jefferson, all right, you're dealing with a new quarterback in there. I don't know that I can run to bet him at 18-1.
That number is way too short for me, given what we know, which is nothing.
Which is nothing. Which is nothing.
The thing is I understand what people are going to say. Like, well, he did. Look what he did with Sam Darnold. Well, Sam Darnold had at least had experience in the NFL.
Right.
You are sticking a dude under center that will be taking his first NFL snap.
So keep moving down the list. Derrick Henry, okay, he had a great year last year. He is another year older. You're still going to have Lamar Jackson stealing carries away from him. I don't know that I can get there at that price on him. Then we get to a name that I'm finally a little interested in. But Matt, I what do you think of this Texans team? And are we going to see a bounce back from CJ Stroud? Does this offense return to form? And if you're telling me that it does, then Nico Collins at 20-1, I actually do have some interest in because I think he's one of the better wide receivers in the league.
Yeah, I mean, so you're going to be without Tank Dell, so he's going to have to step up, and he's going to have to do a lot more for this team. So I think that there is that for sure. I personally think this Texans team is going to be better this year than they were last year. I think the offense, all these defensive coordinators are very smart, Kelly, and they had a year of film, and they went in and they studied the year of film, and they were like, oh, okay, here's some stuff that I think we can expose with CJ Stroud. I think that that's just the natural progression for some of these guys. And I think that, again, in return, I think CJ Stroud, I already have heard all of the stuff that's been going on in the offseason where he thinks that they figured out some of his tendencies and all of that, and that he's working to try to make sure that he's not repeating some of these things that led to, it wasn't a bad year. It was just a down year.
Right. It was down year.
It was a down year.
No, and you broke it down well. I think that's why when we hear the term sophomore slump, I think it's a lot of what happens. You're getting these quarterbacks on tape.
But it's a pretty good offensive line. It's not a great offensive line, but it's a pretty good offensive line. And with Nico Collins, the other thing that is definitely a real thing too, you got to remember, they did at least bring in Christian Kirk. And that's not to say that Christian Kirk is maybe good anymore. I don't really know. But they will at least have to respect that Christian Kirk is out on the field, which should create opportunity for Nico Collins.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I don't, that one intrigues me a bit. Where is
the one far down the board that is at least to me somewhat interesting to Jonathan Taylor at 40-1. I don't have any idea whether this Colts team is going to be good or not.
That's a big number.
But what if they take a step forward? What if Anthony Richardson maybe figured out how to play quarterback? You know,
I mean, Jonathan Taylor's been steady. I'm not really, you're right. If everything around him gets a little bit better, I count on that production being there. I like that one.
Beeson.com/subscribe. We're going to give you 14 months for $199. And guess what else? You are going to get a pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. So you get all the daily emails sent to you. You get the video feed of everything. You get the splits page. And of course, our NFL betting guide that'll be out way earlier than everybody else's. Beeson.com/subscribe. Use promo code BOOK, B-O-O-K, and take advantage of getting the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook on pre-order.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Final segment, numbers game here on VSiN, and an end to my run here on the desk for one, Gil Alexander. Scott Seidenberg will be in here tomorrow.
Cue up the Green Day.
You You also will not. You also will not be in here.
I will also not be in here. Yes, Danny Higgins.
Kelly taking a personal day.
That's right. Yeah, sort of. Tomorrow to Monday. Yeah, little mini staycation fun. Little Vegas fun this weekend. It's gonna be a good time.
We've been talking about the golf. Three different guys sit at 5 under now. One includes Alex Smalley now.
Mm. What's so your number, first round leader on him?
See, that's like the problem. 40, 50? That's the problem. It's so the longer guys it goes down,
right?
And then the shorter guys it goes up. So while I have a 67-1 on him for full tournament, it was only 40-1 for first round leader.
Yeah,
I say only. Anytime you can 40x your money. I
mean, oh yeah, no, yeah, yeah. That's that's a good problem to have. Yes. It'd be nice if Keith Mitchell could finish out strong. I got a 55 on him, but he's going to have to go birdie, birdie, birdie to finish, I think, to have a shot.
Nick Taylor, Taylor Pendrith are at 4 under. They are T4 right now, and then a whole bunch of people sitting at 3 and 2. But some of these guys are starting to run out of holes, and so they're not going to be able to actually contend for first-round leader and all that. Rory McIlroy, your short shot. Heading into this tournament, is at 1 under through 14.
And he's what coming that, back too, man.
And what that does, just saying, if you wanted to, it is now double what you got pre-tournament. It's 9-1 on Rory. Now live.
Ooh.
9-1 now live.
I don't hate that. I mean, I bet him pre-tournament.
There's still some holes to play today.
I don't know about you. That feels pretty accurate odds-wise for me of where we should be at live and where we're at in this round and who's ahead of him on the leaderboard. If you had a itch to bet him pre-tournament, I don't have a problem.
You're saying
with that.
You're going to let people scratch that itch?
That's right. Scratch that itch.
You can, in fact.
The
go
one
ahead.
Thing to bring up, though, with this course, he does have holes left. He does not have any par fives remaining, though, because you do have the bookended par fives. He started on the back nine, so he's played both par fives already.
Let's get to our G-Bank best bets here. A couple of baseball bets for me today. And this one, by the way, just a reminder that the first pitch in this game is coming to you in about 30 minutes. So shortly after we get done here. So if you want to get it in, Kelly, people were listening and or just woke up and decided that, oh, by the way, the Braves are going to win this game. They're all the way out to -155 favorites in this game. So, but that's not how we're going about this. That's how we're betting this. We are betting this on a team total standpoint over the 4.5. And like we said, Brandon Pfaadt is just a dude that has give up a lot of earned runs here lately, and he's just not missing bats like he used to in the past. And then if we can chase him, we do get a bottom five bullpen in all of baseball going for the Diamondbacks. So let's take that team total over on the Braves. Also, Framber Valdez over 18.5 outs. This guy has gotten to 7 innings for us in 4 of his last 5 starts. And the one that he didn't, he got to 6. So if he'd have just gotten 6 1/3, this would have cashed as well. He is a ground ball machine. He can get it short in counts, which keeps that pitch count down and keeps him in the game a lot longer. Oh, did I mention as well? He's playing the Pirates. The Pirates can't hit the baseball. Me and Kelly might as well be up in there hitting for the Pirates. So that's where we're at. And I did play O'Malley. I also played a little bit of Juliana Pena as dogs there in the co-main and main events in the UFC.
I like it. Join you on O'Malley for sure. What do you got for the NBA Finals series bets, my friend?
Series price. I took the Thunder at 4-1. Give me a little bit of a sweat here to get that one going. I don't know if that's the right price I got. We'll look. Here's the other problem.
Yeah, I gave you my price.
Yeah, but you know, there's a problem. Is we have to open 19 different apps to try to figure out where we bet the stuff and like whatever. It's so much easier when you can do stuff on browsers. This is what people rest of the country don't understand.
Yes. But I also, you might make fun of me for my bets to make to-do list. But it, you know what it helps with, Matt? It keeps all my bets very organized. Yeah.
See, I do the monthly.
And it goes right into a spreadsheet.
See, that's the thing though. I do the monthly tallies and of adding.
Oh, it sounds exhausting. But you spend a day every month to do that?
Here's the point though. It makes me have to like understand, because as you're typing in and you start to see like, oh, I lost like 4 in a row on these totals, and we're like, you start to get like, so it helps me with
this
the process.
Okay, all right, it's a good point,
because I start to notice little patterns and stuff as I'm entering all the stuff.
You are checking in more often on how your betting is going in whatever sport. Yeah. Okay. So okay. I don't hate that.
It gives me a real quick kick in the crotch sometimes where I'm like, oh, I should maybe not do this as much or get better at it. Maybe I should just get better at it. There's also that. And then I have them to win game one and then also to win the series. What you looking at?
I love that bet. Mm-hmm. I love any -300 or less. I love that bet. Okay. So For me today, these are all things today except for Matthew Stafford. He will not play football today. Braves team total over 4.5. I am tailing Matt and Will, I guess, on that. Basically, everybody we talked to baseball with today seemed to agree on this one. Paul Sport even was sounding like he liked that. I laid 9 with the Thunder, played an alt 13.5 at plus 165. And I am on Halliburton under 9.5 assists tonight, having to lay minus 145 on that. You can go 8.5 at like plus 110, I saw. I'm going 9.5. They'll give myself an extra assist to play with. I do think the Thunder are going to force him into being a bit more of a scorer in this series. I didn't play any of the series-long props on him. I think, Matt, though, this is a prop I'm going to attack pretty heavily game to game here until they start to adjust off of this number. So probably one I'm playing tonight, probably one I'm playing down the line as well. We talked about it a little bit before, but Stafford MVP and NFL awards ad for me. And then as far as series bets go for me, did add a couple. 4-1 series correct score, plus 210. Do you like the Thunder in 5? I know you've heard everybody on the planet say that this week, but I do think that is the most likely outcome of this series. Then so a couple player props. Lou Dort to lead the series in 3-pointers made, 6-1. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to lead the series in assists at 4-1. If you are betting that market right now, make sure you shop around, because I have seen numbers that are still the same as mine. I have seen him as short as about 2-1 in that market these days. And then my favorite bet that I have made for this series, Matt Brown: will any player record a triple-double in any game? No, plus 165. Can't believe I'm getting that good of a number on that.
Look at you throwing all of those out.
Dude, you know how many triple-doubles that Tyrese Halliburton and SGA have combined for this season?
453.
One. And it was Tyrese Halliburton this postseason.
Yeah, like a week ago or something. Yeah. Zach Cohen's going to play the Pacers. He's going to take the 9.5. By the way, there is a 10 out there. So if you want to get a little bit better number than he's got, you can get that. And then Chet Holmgren to average 20 or more points per game in the series. You can get 5-1 on that out there. We talked about all the creative ways that you can go about attacking the series.
Well, and back to Drew Dinsick a couple days ago. If I'm Zach Cohen and I'm playing that, I'm playing Chet Finals MVP too. Might as well sprinkle on 60-1 or whatever it is for Chet for MVP.
And a couple of other, just real quick for me, a couple of other UFC plays if you want to get on that. I have Joe Pyfer by KO. You can get about 2.5-1 on that. Kelvin Gastelum has never been knocked out in the octagon, which is why we're getting such a good number on a dude that is a really good knockout artist.
Which is weird, because it feels like he's been fighting for 900 years.
So here's the part of the handicap, Kelly, is the fact that he has a ton of wear and tear on that body. And the thing is even with these dudes with good chins, you get to like 33, 34 years old and you've just been in the octagon for so long and taken so much damage that the chin can start to get a little bit dicey in there. And so again, it's not likely to happen, but that's why we're getting plus 250, right, on that. And then the other one is Vicente Luque and Kevin Holland. I did take the will not start round 3 at minus 115. I think we will just see violence in that fight. So it's about violence there.
As I was listening to you and John Anik talk through that one yesterday, man, those two names feel like pandemic superstars. It felt like they were in every UFC fight during the pandemic that we watched.
Yeah, it's a few more that we'll throw in there, and those will all be in the account for me as well. Guys, the $500 trifecta over there from GBank, First Bet, and Visa. And all you do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit, and play through $1,000 over at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll get a $200 cashback reward on your Visa Signature card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and then to complete the thing, we're going to give you a VSiN Pro subscription as well. There's your $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. VSiN.com/GBank if you want to take advantage of this. And guys, it's a one-time promotion. It's limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer, and it's not going to apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. VSiN.com/GBank. One minute left. The most shocking result that could happen tonight in this basketball game.
Pacers win, but I mean, Pacers win big.
I think that's
the easiest thing to say.
I guess, do you know what mine would be? Mine would be a convincing Thunder win and Shai scores fewer than 20 points. Like, that would be like the most shocking to me.
That'd be the most shocking.
And then
I think that is completely plausible. Like, I think that could happen.
Like, you think he scores 17 points and the Thunder have a huge win in this game? Really?
I think that could happen. Yes.
Wow.
I think that
would be bad news for the
Pacers. I mean, we have, like we were talking about with Zach, if J-Dub and Chet can actually provide consistent offense, Shea can play that kind of role.
Stick around. About to walk in the studio right now. Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bonantoni with Money Moves. And then we'll have prop points and Make It Rain following that. Good luck on all your bets.